Well, as we approach, you know, this time of the year, for us to understand many of the spiritual principles, it's needful for us to go back and look at the nation of Israel. Even, you know, and we think, and all these things go through our mind as we think about Passover and the days of unleavened bread. It goes back and we think about Joseph and the things he went through and there and how God used him. And what proceeded with the nation of Israel and there in Egypt and their bondage and what they were going through as it pertains to us spiritually. And then their Red Sea and what they went through there and going across the Red Sea. And then God, you know, why didn't they go right on to the Promised Land? And, you know, for us spiritually, we have to reflect and go back and think about those things. And many years ago, there was a sign, very humorous little sign. You know, they used to do that a lot years ago. They had little signs that you could get and read, and I think they've kind of gotten away from that. But this one little sign says, "Don't feel useless. You can always serve as a bad example." So, you know, it kind of, you know, it sparks your thought process when you think about that and think about what we're going through. Thinking about. Unfortunately, when you think about what that sign said and what it means to us, this describes precisely the good that came out of the nation of Israel as pertaining to their existence and serving God. We go back and reflect, and certainly, you know, for me, repetition, you know, repetition is good, and we need that. There's certain kind of repetition, though, that drives me crazy. When I hear someone say a thing time and time and time again, they tell me the same thing over and over. That drives me kind of nuts. But this kind of repetition is good for us because we learn from it. We're to go through it and think about it. And, you know, this is a physical thing. This happened physically to them. But why do we have to go through it every year? So we glean from it spiritually, and, you know, we do it physically too in our lives. So you think about the nation of Israel beginning at the Red Sea. One thing, beginning at the Red Sea, God gave Israel the opportunity to do one thing. And that one thing led to their failure. What one thing did He give them the opportunity to do? As they came to the Red Sea, and they looked around, and they saw Pharaoh, they saw the army coming behind them, and, you know, you go back at the maps, whether or not that's where they crossed the Red Sea, I'm not sure. But the big valley between the mountains and the place there where they all gathered by the Red Sea, and they saw the army coming down through this, they had nowhere to go, you know. And they saw that coming that way, and, you know, that was probably kind of scary, you know, probably really scary to them. And they had one thing there that they could have done in their lives, which would have turned a lot of things around. What one thing was that?
Trust God.
Trust God. Build faith.
Have faith.
They didn't do that. Now, what did they do? When you think, did it really cross their mind when they saw all that, that this was a physical thing? Yes. Yes, it was a trial for them. Yes, they couldn't go. They couldn't go this way. They couldn't go that way. What did they do? They attacked Moses. It's all your fault, Moses. You know, and so many times, as human beings, that's what we do. And it was a good trial for them. But they looked at the Persian army here and there. And so many times, we look at the negative side of trials. That's what they were looking at. They were looking at, oh man, here they come. Here they come, and we're going to die. We're all going to die. Instead of looking at this in a positive way, a way to build faith in God, that He would lead us across it. He would take care of it. They looked at it in a very negative way. And they didn't build faith out of that. They rebelled. So did God just give up on them and say, oh, come and get them, run over them and do them? No. He delivered Israel. Many more opportunities to build faith. And as we look into our Christian calling is about faith. It's about doing the work of God and doing it in faith. In my Christian life, I've never had Jesus Christ, to my knowledge, come and speak to me or God the Father. Now, He may have. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, as some of these individuals did. So, they had many opportunities to build faith. Doubt came in. More trials. Did they change? No. Throughout all the experience they went through, they didn't change. Hardships on top of hardships. Israel actually refused to enter the promised land. So what happened on that refusal? Were they sentenced to death? Yeah, they were. They were sentenced to death because of the lack of faith. And that nation had to die in the wilderness. That group had to die in the wilderness. Their lives were spent in doubt. So they had to pay the penalty of and for the lack of faith. That was their sentence. They had to pay that penalty. So their lives were spent in doubt, confusion, despair, and the bitter fruit of faithlessness. That's a terrible life. You know, God wanted to give them the promised land, wanted them to inherit, and we think about it spiritually. Doesn't God want to give and want us to inherit the promised land? Doesn't God want to give all that to us? And I'll be going through some scriptures that we know very well, so I'll just quote the scripture, and we'll go on. And I know you're probably tired and want to get out of here. So, anyway, the Apostle Paul said, and you know, why did these things have to happen? This is what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. All things happen to them for Israel. Okay? All these things had to happen. They happened to them for examples. Lessons. Okay? Lessons. That the trials they suffer, did they profit them? So you go, now let's think about this. Let's back up and think about this. You go through a trial. You go through a problem in your life, and it's very difficult. None of us like those. We don't want to go through them. We don't want to be a part of them. In our family, in the church, whatever. They're very uncomfortable. And they hurt. Right? Why go through a trial if it doesn't profit you? Okay? Why hurt yourself if it's not going to profit you? So it didn't profit them. In essence, in what is being said here, they experienced trials, problems in their life. You go back and you look at all the problems they had. For why? For what? It was for nothing to them. Didn't profit them. Hebrews 4 and verse 20, well, if their lessons did not profit them, whom did they profit? That's a pretty good question. If they had to go through those things, and it didn't profit them, so why did they have to go through it? Whom did it profit? Whom does it profit? So Paul answers that question in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 11. And they, Israel's mistakes, that's the reason we go back, you see. And you think about Egypt. We think about the Red Sea. We think about all that went through, all they went through. That's the reason we rehearse these things year after year, so that we remember them, you know. And so that, who did they profit? Who did Israel's mistakes profit? And they, Israel's mistakes were written for our admonition. Really? You mean someone else had to suffer, make mistakes, and go through all that, that we can learn from their mistakes? That's what it means. Now, I thought about this, and I said, man, this is kind of scary. You mean I'm going to have to make mistakes if someone else can profit? I hope not. I hope I learn from Israel and their mistakes, the things written here, so that I can profit from it. That I don't have to make mistakes. You see where I'm going? This thing can get pretty scary and out of hand. So that I can give what I learn through their mistakes to other people and say, hey, we don't want to suffer if it's not going to profit. See? So we want to profit. And there's one thing that comes into play here that they didn't have that we want to do that we can profit. And that's real faith. They didn't have it. They didn't believe God. And they didn't profit from their trials and problems and things they had to go through. That they, Israel's mistakes, are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are to come. And that's pretty heavy, and we're going to get into some of that too. The end of the world is to come. So we see that this ties in with us and the end of the world. Are we going to learn and profit because of the end of the world? And there's a lot of responsibilities going to, it is laid on our shoulders, that we are required to profit from what had happened before and to learn from that. Well, you think about that. Did that end come during Paul's life? No, it didn't. He thought it would. Christ revealed the end of time, meaning Satan's rule over the end of the earth, would an establishment of God's kingdom would come. But two things have to occur, and they have to occur simultaneously. Let's go to Matthew 24. We'll go there and we'll again read. You know these by heart. No, you do, but we'll just read them and tie all this together. Matthew 24, we find the first condition of this. Back, you can recall, and when the atomic bomb, the first condition became reality, the atom bomb exploded in the middle of this century. Mankind has developed a nuclear device ever since, and a time that mankind can utterly destroy himself. And we know that that is one of the verse 20. Let's just go to verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Now, what it says in the Moffat, it says no flesh should be saved, total annihilation. Now, do you realize that that means all mankind? Total annihilation. Every human being that walks this earth, that are alive at that particular time, that we have capability, and if Christians don't, and we're going to read this, and that's the reason we have a lot of weight on our shoulders, to have that faith and learning from what's going on, that the whole world could be wiped out. That's a lot of responsibility. If we don't do our job, all of mankind can die. All of mankind can die. The latter part of that, but for the elect's sake, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Okay, that's telling me one thing. There is going to be a group. There are going to be individuals that are Christians, that are the elect at that time. Don't know how many, but there are going to be individuals that are doing something, that have this faith that we need to get us through this. There are going to be some, or all mankind is going to die. So God, you know, is encouraging. There's going to be a few. We don't know how many, but there's going to be a few there. So it is at this juncture that we're placing end time events. And let's go to verse 14. And Christ describes it this way in verse 14. And this gospel, so we see two things taking place here. We see mankind has the ability to destroy all of mankind. And it says, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Well, you know, a few years ago, I'm not into internet, I'm not into all that stuff. We used to do TV, you know, start out in my age of radio with Mr. Armstrong, certainly reaching thought, you know, and going on television that, man, surely we're reaching the world. No, we're just now starting to come to realize that the internet, laptops, all this stuff is really where it's going. You know, every time I make a phone call to one of my people, suppliers, or where I have extended warranties, they'll say, "What's your fax number? What's this number? What's that number?" So we can send you the paperwork. I'm sorry, I don't do that stuff. So I'm illiterate. You know, I'm sorry. Maybe one of these days I'll have a chance. I don't do it now. That's where it's going. That's where it's at. The work is being done. You know, and it's not, and I'm going to say this because this is what I believe, it is not one individual or one group doing the work. We have many good men, and we have women that God has called, that they're on there, that they're putting articles on there, they're on there, sermons after sermons, you hit a button, and man, it starts building, downloading. The work is being done through the internet. I'm not saying that there won't be TV, you know, because not all, or radio, or printed literature, because not all people have that access. So there is still a need for people like me, you know, that still handwrite out their sermons, or type them out, or go on radio, because there are some people that don't have the luxury of, and they need radio, or they need TV. And that'll still be done. But I'm just saying that you talk about preaching the gospel. Man, it's being done through the internet. And to what I understand, it's very cost effective as well. And I think that's just a super thing. So we're going to see more and more of that. The churches of God are doing the work. They are proclaiming, they are announcing the coming of Jesus Christ. You can go on there and you can find out all about the Passover, Easter, Days of Unleavened Bread, and I mean it's all there. And I mean there's different ones doing it, you know. And I certainly applaud them. I want to make this statement, and I think it's a very important statement. The survival of mankind hinges on the existence of a group of faithful people to God. The survival of mankind hinges upon the existence of a group of faithful people to God. And Christ said that unless there was an elect God's church, there should be no flesh saved alive. Let's go to Malachi. Well, I'll just quote this. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Not only must there be a group of people that are faithful to God to prevent God from prevent mankind from destroying himself, but that faithful few in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that these few must be preaching the gospel before, and this is a quote, the coming of the great and dreadful day of the eternal. Otherwise, God will come and smite the earth with a curse and utter destruction. Now, there's a lot in there because it goes into the Father, you know, and the Son, and family ties, and straightening up the family. And there's a lot involved there in what we have to do in preaching and preparing and doing the work. As I was going through this and thinking about this, you know, there are many different individuals doing God's work out there. We're not all perfect. We all make mistakes. We don't have it all together. We thought we had it all together worldwide. You know, we thought we were the only ones that understood the scriptures, and we thought we had it all together. Well, I got news for you. None of us has got it all together. When Christ comes back, even the understanding that we have now will probably be very sad compared to the truth. But we do the best we can. With God's, you know, we ask God to help us. Help us to understand these things. So, you know, we can do better. We can please you better. We're still human beings. We're still human beings. All of us. So there is a great responsibility resting on our shoulders, and it's very great. Israel's failure meant the temporary death of a single nation. You realize how a whole nation had to die because of a doubting, or, you know, those that refused. There were some that was able to go on in the promised land. But a whole group of people had to die in the wilderness because of doubting. Failure. God's church, hopefully, we have enough insight, enough truth that we won't fail. As you think about the nation of Israel, they were in essence a what do you call it, prototype, a working model of God's church today. Through Israel's failures, we must profit and learn from their failures. We must profit. We must understand, I guess we could say, that we must not do what Israel did if we hope to finish the work and complete the journey into the kingdom of God. So we must look at their, what they went through, and not do what they did. We must have an exercise and build faith and go beyond. We understand that Israel was a type of God's church in the Old Testament, that they were set free from slavery, sin, and we have to tie, we tie Egypt in, that they were a type of sin and slavery, and God brought them out of that. So we tie that into when God started, He called us, and He began to open our minds to the truth, and He said, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. So He was drawing us out as He drew Israel out of Egypt. He was drawing us out of this world of sin, and their going through the Red Sea was to have faith in God, and we were baptized having faith in God and repenting, and we wanted to change, and certainly that's a long process. And as they were baptized in the Red Sea, the cloud, you know, they followed God. Stephen even called the church of Israel, the church in the wilderness, in Acts 7:38. They had human leadership as we do today. That church followed the cloud, you know, and all that, Jesus Christ through the wilderness into the promised land. Today, we, and, you know, the modern church, let me just call it the modern church, that once again we're being led in the wilderness of this world. It's one of sin. They don't keep God's law. Things that are rewarding to Christians, they fall short in understanding because God hasn't called them yet. So there is a coming in time when, you know, when they hear the gospel and they go on radio, they read this or that. And Bob was mentioning earlier about some people doing, they're just starting to keep the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. Don't know where that came from, but I think it's great. You know, when you have individuals do that, and it comes a time that God begin, that God is going to call them, it's going to, they're going to say, oh yeah, I remember. And it's going to be easy for them to change. So those things are good. Today, we know that we're headed to the promised land. We all hope that. Can we take these lessons that we see here and learn from them and apply that in our lives? You know, what happened with them? Why did they fail so miserably? It was a lack of faith. Today we have human leaders in all the different organizations, all the different groups of God. Some of them I trust, not with my salvation, no, but I trust to be doing everything they can do to do and teach the truth. There are a few that I don't trust. They may be, you know, God may be still working with them. But we are to learn from these things, to build faith in God, to build faith that the Israelites did not do. So today, that story is a vital message, I think, for the church, and certainly as we enter this Passover season. In the book of Hebrews, and let's just go to Hebrews 4, and the greatest danger, I think, that we face in God's church today was the same to Israel. And Paul exposes this. He talks about it. And he begins in chapter 4, Hebrews 4. And let's go to verse 11. Let us labor. Let us labor. Now, and we some of us know what labor is, you know, out on the job. Sweat running down, hot, you know, and all that stuff. What is meant here? Let us labor. You know, we take some of these words and they really bring things out for us that we can understand it. Let us labor. So, it means that we are to be diligent in what we're doing. Yes. But it means being very, very, very diligent in what we're doing. We take it very seriously. We put our whole heart into it. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. So what is that rest? Is it not the very same thing that the nation of Israel was promised by God? The promised land? And so we're told now that we have to be very diligent to enter into that rest. That means our future reward. That means the kingdom of God. Exactly, that's what it means. So we have to be very diligent doing that. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That was Israel's problem. Unbelief. So we have to be diligent that we don't fall, you know, what does Scripture say? Boy, they didn't profit from all the things they went through. And it's written down. And they went through it so that we can profit from it. So let's profit from it. Let's let it not go in vain that we can profit from it. And learn from it. The same example of unbelief. Paul later went on in back over in chapter 3 and verse 19, and this is what he said, verse 19, about Israel. So we see that they could not enter in the promised land. Why is that? Because of unbelief. They didn't really believe God. So we don't want to be in the same boat. I don't want to be in the same boat. I want to believe. You know, we have to pray for more faith. And we have to ask God to give us more faith. Let's go over to chapter, we're in chapter, right against chapter 4. Let's read verse 1 and verse 2. And Paul shows Israel's warning message to God's people. Verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into the rest. So we know that that rest is symbolic, symbolic of the Sabbath, symbolic of the thousand-year period, symbolic of God's government, the very kingdom of God. Any of you should seem to come short of it. How do we come short of it? Right back again. Because of unbelief. because of believing and listening to the promises that God has given. We can come short of it. Going on, the gospel has been preached to us. And we have heard that gospel. Come short of it. In verse 2. And unto us was the gospel preached. How many of us were evangelized, preached, the word there uses, evangelized. How many of us over the last 45 years have heard and even probably give sermonettes and sermons on the gospel of the kingdom of God? Time and time and time again. Do we really get it and how all this ties together? The gospel of the kingdom of God. You know, this weight rests on our shoulders. And it's a big and heavy weight. As well as to them, to us, to them, the nation of Israel. But the word preached did not profit them because of unbelief, not being mixed with faith. There's the word again. In them that heard it. Verse 3, the first part. For we which have believed do enter into that rest. God has promised if we have that faith and belief that we'll enter into the rest. That all this has happened in our lives before us, during us now, and after us will not be in vain. All the problems, trials, all the things in you, that it won't be in vain. That we will have had the faith is what was missing in Israel's life. And hopefully we can learn that it'll not be a missing element in our lives. That we can enter the promised land. So what do we do? What do we have to do to be successful where they failed? Doubt. Doubt causes unbelief. It's certainly deadly. You know, they looked out. And boy, here they are, Red Sea here. We can't cross the Red Sea. We're all going to the ground. We got the armies right behind us and all their chariots and spears and all that stuff. And they lived there in Egypt. And they knew how deadly. They watched them, you know, practice. And they knew how... they, you know, all those things go through the mind when you think about what's written here. And, you know, the nation of Israel saw them doing that, practicing with the spears and the bows and all that. And they said, man, them guys are good. They're going to tear us apart. But where's God in all this? So it caused them a great deal of grief and difficulty, and we can do that today as well, doubting God, doubting His church, and when I say church, I mean all of His churches together, making up one body. We can doubt His leaders today, and certainly God has, I think, many leaders today in the different groups. But one thing we have to come to realize is that it's not man guiding the church of God. It's God. All these things are happening that we can grow in faith. We just do what Israel did not. Trials, we don't like them. We have to face them. You know, all these things, now, you know, we're going through still battling church wars. Is it something new? Is it something new? No. It's happened and happened and happened. Before, and you know what? It'll probably happen again. You're probably going to see this group split again and that group split again. And there's a reason for it. And we have to learn something out of this. You know, a lot of it's going to be judging our brother and sister. You know, there's a lot we have to learn out of this. But God wants us to learn that we don't go through it in vain. So, we look at these things and realize that God is there. And Romans 8, verse 28 is what is stated here. All things, the disasters, the trials, death, everything that we go through, work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8, verse 28. To them who are called according to His purpose. It's kind of almost like, you mean we have to go through these things and God purposed that we go through these things? For what reason? That we learn what God is, what He's like, maybe how we should treat other people and how we should love other people, even the guy down on the corner. There's a lot we need to learn here that maybe we're not learning thus far. God's people are scattered around the world. I think we're all in unity of that. But we are united by doing God's work, and we are united by the Spirit of God, and we all are all pointed toward the kingdom of God. And we come and we realize this work of God is a work of faith. That's what it is. It's a work of faith. And we all have a part in it. Our daily troubles, as I have to go back and think about the nation of Israel again. And their daily trouble, yeah, they had a lot of daily troubles. You know, they had to work and they had to make bricks and had to make that. And the harder, according to history, the harder they were worked, the more babies they put out. I don't know how that works. But anyway, when I work hard, man, I'm so tired, I want to go back and get you know, you sleep over there and I'll sleep over here and leave me alone. But anyway, that's the way it worked. And they had their difficulties. And they had their problems. But they had an opportunity to build faith. And they blew it. Troubles are at every side. It'd be great, but this is not the kingdom of God, brethren. It simply isn't the kingdom of God yet. And we have to learn to be in that kingdom. To rely on God, no matter what difficulty, what problem there is. You know, I was telling Bob or someone earlier, you know, no matter what we go through, guess what? If it's not raining, the sun's going to be up in the morning. If I die today, the sun's going to come up tomorrow anyway. You know, and my grass will need cut even though I'm not there to cut it. So, you better make the best of the day while you can today. And there's ample scripture that points to that. So, we have to come, you know, when we talk about trials and, you know, where do trials come from? They can come, you know, when you think about kids, they can come from kids, they can come from work, they can come from, you know, trials at home. Or you know, boy, I didn't build my house right, now it's leaking and running down through, and you know, this trial or that trial, they can come from play, they can come from families, and yes, trials can even come from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's probably the most hurtful trial. And they can come from there. And we have Satan's influence. So we're told that we must fearlessly approach these trials with the opportunity to build faith. Faith in God. If we don't do that, guess what life becomes? What's the point? We throw up our hands and say, what's the point? Might as well quit. Might as well quit. You know, we can look at the negative part of it, but God wants us to look at the positive side of it. What can I learn out of this? This is what Peter said in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. Peter said, the trial of your faith. And boy, this ties in all the way back to the nation of Israel. Faith and unbelief and not being able to enter into the promised land. You have to die because, and that whole group of people, that whole nation group of people there, they had to die because of unbelief. And now, boy, we're looking at that spiritually, and boy, if we don't have the faith, we won't enter into the promised land. This is what Peter said. The trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. Now today that weighs pretty heavy on me and a lot of people. Why? Gold's about what, $1,300 or better? I don't know what it is. Way up in there. Does anyone know?
That's higher than that.
$1,415 somewhere. I knew it exceeded $1,300, you know.
About $1,480.
Yeah. So, man, I can remember back it wasn't a couple of years ago, wasn't it? It's $350 an ounce. I said, boy, if I'd had some money back then, boy, would I have made a killing today. But you got to understand what's being said here. Gold is pretty valuable. Gold is physical, isn't it? Do many depend on the value of gold? Yeah. Nation upon nation upon nation depends upon the value of gold. In many cases, that's their God. Getting more, doing more. What's our treasure? What do we depend on? Is it physical? Or is it faith? Yeah. Belief. What's your whole life been about? Mine's been about church. My whole life's been about church. No, of course, we have to go out and work and we have to do this, that, but our whole lives have been church. Being with God's people. Doing God's work. Trying to do God's work. You know? And without faith, we'd all fail. We'd be no better than the nation of Israel. You know, we look at our lives, and me, you know, I look back at my life, and, you know, I've had a lot of Red Seas in my life, as many of you have had. You know, we've had a bunch of them, or Goliaths. There's no Red Sea too big to cross with God. No Red Sea too big to cross with God. So we have to have that faith. So we look at the trials of our lives each and every day. The joys, the sorrows, the problems. To look at it properly, let's just say it's another step toward the kingdom of God. Another step up the ladder toward the kingdom of God. So do we expect trials? Sure. But, you know, why? Trials help us understand human nature. You know, why did I do that? I caused my own problem. I caused my own difficulties. God, it's your fault. No, it's not. Why did I do that? Why are the circumstances around this thing that caused me to do this stupid thing that I did that caused me difficulties and trials and problems? So we think about those. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's think about it. I don't want to do that again. That's what God wants us to do. Think about it. So we already expect trials. Understand human nature. What works? What doesn't work? What is pleasing to God? What isn't pleasing to God? We want to be successful. God wants us to be successful. Success equals faith. Becoming more godlike. That's belief. That's understanding God. So we expect those trials. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, and we'll conclude here, 2 Corinthians 7, the journey that we're in, and why Paul said, and was able to say, I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. And you know, Paul, you know, he went through a lot. And he was talking about the church as well. Why? Why? How can you be exceedingly joyful in all tribulation? If we allow it, it helps us build the very thing that will enable us to be in the kingdom, in God's family. And that is building faith. It enables us to learn. It enables us to learn. And we have to learn before we can change. See, we have to learn before we can change. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 4. So this whole thing, going back with the nation of Israel, that it is a learning process. They doubted God, unbelief. We have to go through it so we can learn, not have unbelief, have belief, have faith in God, so we can change. Even though we can't see. No, that's what faith is. We can't see it. Jesus Christ doesn't come in here and say, now this is what you have to do. You know, face to face. He doesn't do us that way. You know, Moses, some of the others, he did, you know, face to face with them. But he doesn't do that with us. I expect there is coming a time, toward the end, the very end, that when God pours out His Spirit on the church and our sons and our daughters, He will pour His Spirit out upon them, and they will prophesy. I expect that we'll probably see a little bit of Jesus Christ. And He may even appear at that time to us, to those that He's working with. And I certainly look forward to that. And I expect that because of the wonderful things that are going to take place. So we are to learn. We are to change. He gives us the ability to go through all this, but with faith. With faith comes the very things that, you know, Sue was talking this morning. She said, it's so just so nice to sit here in peace and quiet and look outside and see the birds and see the flowers. It gives us hope. It's fruit. It's fruit of our doings. It gives us hope. It gives us strength. Do we need? Oh, yeah. Do we need to strengthen one another? Yeah. Because all the difficulties we go through. It gives us peace. And boy, you know, when I was going through a lot of difficulties, I told Sue and I told a lot of people, I just want a little peace in my life. You know, I'm tired of all this. You know, and things come up recently, I said, already been through that. Don't want to go through it again. Just want a little peace in my life. God brings and gives that peace. You know? And He does that because we have faith in Him. Peace and joy. I have an old saying. You probably heard it 1,000 times, but I'm going to tell you again anyway. Whatever you're going through, trial, difficulty, whatever it is, this too will pass. It'll pass. Guarantee it. The point is, what are you going to do with the difficulty? The trial, the problem, whatever it is that you're going through. Your brother stabbed you in the back. I'm going home and get my .30-06 and I'm going to shoot him dead. You know? Or are you going to say, I forgive you? It's what we do out of the situation that makes us grow. That makes us be more God-like. That makes us become more Christian-like. What we learn from and apply in our lives. Will we succeed where the ancient nation of Israel faced? Buddy, I certainly hope so. Because I don't want to go through all this in vain for nothing. You know, this is not pleasant to me. Some of the things, and all of us have gone through many difficult trials. It's not pleasant. You know, I don't like to wake up at night, you know, with this on my mind, or maybe having a nightmare or whatever, and thinking about this or thinking about that. That's not pleasant to me. And I hope that, you know, for me, that I can learn. There, the message to ancient Israel, they failed. We pray to God that we won't fail. That message has not been delivered to us in vain. Upon whom the ends of the world are to come. That weight and that burden of saving all mankind lies upon the shoulders of God's people today. We must have faith. We can't doubt. Must have faith that God will see us through.